Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids. As an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. On the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
It's 8:50 and time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. Yesterday afternoon, USDA reported winter wheat seedings at 19% complete versus 25% a year ago and the 23% average. USDA also reported that 9% of the corn crop has been harvested and 6% of soybeans have been harvested. We'll discuss these numbers and other factors that may influence the markets in just a few minutes with Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Cash hog prices today are called mostly steady in the western corn belt, but flat to lower in the east. Terminals are called steady to lower with tops from $45 to $48. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $45. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report from Monday, September 18th, voluntarily reported negotiated swine purchases were 16,641. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $58 to $70.50. The weighted average was $68.15, a gain of 79 cents from last Friday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $46.77 to $55.72, the weighted average $52.08. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 9,193. The base price range was $58.50 to $69.14, the weighted average $66.66, a loss of 88 cents from last Friday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $46.50 to $54.25, and the weighted average was $50.62.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. I'm sure most people are wondering about the possibility of frost across corn and soybean areas, and there is a chance for a little frost, not across Illinois or Indiana, but as nearby as western portions of Iowa, Minnesota, the eastern Dakotas. They could see some light frost tonight. Not seriously damaged, expecting any damage for the grain, but there will be some leaf mass damage as temperatures will probably stay above 32 degrees. No hard freezes are expected. That would be a temperature below 28 degrees, and there is a fair bit of cloud cover across the region, and there is expected to continue to be that cloud cover in the overnight, so that will provide a little bit of a safety net for some of the areas that will be dipping down most likely into the mid to upper 30s. But again, across the eastern Dakotas, western Minnesota, and in through western Iowa, there may be some temperatures down to between 32 and 35 degrees. Another aspect of the forecast that is concerning the crop area is how much moisture will be coming in, and the forecast is still wet, and that will threaten crop maturation and harvest progress. Delays in field work are expected through the next 2 weeks. It will not rain every day, but drying rates between precipitation events will not be at the best, considering the cooler than average conditions and the occurrence of precipitation that will be on a pretty regular basis across the area. Some field work is anticipated, but again, progress should be slower than usual across the U.S. Midwest. In the Delta and the Southeast, rainfall in the southeastern states will be less frequent and less significant relative to that in the Delta, allowing some field progress to take place. Maturation of summer crops and harvest progress will advance across both the Delta and the southeastern states during the next couple of weeks, but progress will be limited at times due to the periodic showers and thunderstorms. South of the equator in Argentina, crop and field conditions may improve with whatever rain falls, but the amount of rain and its distribution will remain poor for a little while longer, and that will delay field work and limit crop development. greater rain is indeed needed across Argentina. As far as Brazil, wet weather in southern Brazil during the spring of El Nino years is common, and timely rain in the north should stimulate some crop and other early summer crop or corn and some other summer crop planting. In Asia, too much rain in the major grain areas of India is resulting in a little flooding and crop damage, but most summer grain, oilseed, and cotton areas should be pretty decent with the weather situation. And in China, mostly dry weather occurred in the eastern China summer coarse grain and oilseed production area yesterday, and limited rain will fall for the next full week. The second week of the forecast offers greater rainfall for eastern China relative to that of this week. However, any rain that falls will be brief and light, limiting for the impact on summer crop maturation and harvest progress. Australia, improved rainfall is being forecast for eastern Australia during the second week of a two-week forecast. No heavy generalized rain is anticipated, but showers will lay down a little bit of moisture for some crops to benefit from that situation. So in general, conditions not too terribly bad for the U.S. and improving in Brazil, but still very dry across Argentina. And again, in the Corn Belt, cool, mostly dry weather prevails in the wake of the cold front passage. However, wet field conditions will across the Midwest will slow field work, and that does include the corn harvest and initial winter wheat planting. With a look at the growing areas, I'm Mike Sola.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In the Monday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 466 unchanged. Last trade up 3. March 473 and a half, down a half. Last trade up 2 1/4. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 395 and 3/4, up 1/4. Last trade up 4 3/4. March 413 unchanged. Last trade up 4 3/4. May 426 up 3 1/2. Last trade up 3 1/2. July 428 down a half. Last trade up 5. December corn opened at 247 and a quarter, down a half. Last trade down a half. March, 261 down a half. Last trade down 3/4. May, 268 and a half, down a quarter. Last trade down 3/4. July, 275 and a quarter, down 3/4. Last trade down 1 1/4. Redline December, 287 and a half, down 1 1/4. Last trade down 3/4. November soybeans opened at 552 and a half, down a half. Last trade up 1 1/4. January 562 and 3/4, down 3. Last trade up 2. March 577 unchanged. Last trade up 1/4. May 586 down 3/4. Last trade up 1/4. July 596 and a quarter, down 1/4. Last trade up 1/2. October soybean meal opened at 164.30, up 20. Last trade up 60. October soybean oil opened at 24.57, up 3. Last trade up 11. Joining us now on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart, Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, for the last several sessions, wheat had given up its leadership role in the marketplace at the Board of Trade. But given some fundamental news we're hearing out of some places like Argentina and Australia, might it be the leader today?
Yes, it very might well be. I mean, Argentina is worried about their crop and hasn't been getting rains and are still dry, and Australia already lowered their crop, and private people are talking about even lower than where they've got it. So people are worried about those crops. I think Europe lowered theirs last week, their crop from this year, but the south southern hemisphere hasn't been good to wheat growing this year.
So the call for the wheat this morning would be?
3 to 5, 4 to 5 higher.
Does that pull corn up today?
That could help pull corn a little bit, but you know, corn has made a big move from its lows, 32.5 up to 47. What did we get yesterday? 48. We were down a half last night. The good to excellent ratings were up a couple in corn and up one in beans, and that might have kept a top on it. But you know, that 50 area, if it gets through there, we could go some more. We still haven't got much harvest in the Midwest yet for harvest pressure, and there's some people saying we've had early lows. Others are saying, well, when we get the real harvest going, we'll go back down some. So it's a toss-up on the corn. They're being called unchanged to up one.
When I was looking at USDA's numbers yesterday on crop progress, what caught my eye is that eastern beans are behind western beans in terms of dropping leaves. What are the implications?
It's going to be a later harvest than normal, and as a result, we won't know the real numbers on beans. They're harder to figure out yield-wise. Corn counts, usually when you go out and do that, are a little more accurate than bean counts, but we'll have a lot of corn harvested before we start beans in this area. And right now in this area, you know, last year we were 30 to 50% done. We're 1% done or less. We've got four or five farmers have done a little something, and the rest of them are waiting for it to dry down.
So the bean call this morning?
Bean call today, we're talking unchanged to up 2.
Over on the Merck, what are you seeing?
The hogs were down hard yesterday, and we're looking at those to continue down a little bit. You know, they might bounce after a hard day down. We're also looking for cattle to be down a hair.
Thank you very much, Pete.
Thank you, Dave.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. He is located in Normal, Illinois. He joins us every Tuesday morning on the pre-opening Commodity Market Report. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.